we invite you to enjoy this sermon presented by the Reverend Bob Geckler. The title is A Tough Act to Follow.
Our Holy Gospel this morning comes from the Gospel of Mark, chapter 6, verses 1 through 13. Jesus left there and went to his hometown, accompanied by his disciples. When the Sabbath came, he began to teach in the synagogue, and many who heard him were amazed. "Where did this man get these things?" they asked. "What's this wisdom that has been given to him, that he even does miracles? Isn't this the carpenter? Isn't this Mary's son and the brother of James, Joseph, Judas, and Simon? Aren't his sisters here with us?" And they took offense at him. Jesus said to them, "Only in his hometown, among his relatives, and in his own house is a prophet without honor. He could not do any miracles there, except lay his hands on a few sick people and heal them. And he was amazed at their lack of faith." Then Jesus went around teaching from village to village. Calling the 12 to him, he sent them out two by two and gave them authority over evil spirits. These were his instructions. "Take nothing for the journey except a staff. No bread, no bag, no money in your belts. Wear sandals, but not an extra tunic. Whenever you enter a house, stay there until you leave that town. And if any place will not welcome you or listen to you, shake the dust off your feet when you leave as a testimony against them." They went out and preached that people should repent. They drove out many demons and anointed many sick people with oil and healed them. This is the gospel of our Lord. And please be with me in the spirit of prayer. May the words of my mouth and the meditation of all of our hearts together be acceptable to you, O Lord, our rock and our Redeemer. Amen. Happy 248th birthday, America. It's an important election year. 1789. It's time for the new republic to select its first official president. It is also the same time that the United States Constitution came into effect, replacing the Articles of Confederation. With the Revolutionary War not very far behind them, it has been a busy time for the founders of this new republic. What form should it take? How do the various states relate to the federal government? How does our religion fit into the process and outcome? Decisions, decisions. The Pilgrims left England because of religious persecution of their more democratically governed separatist congregations. This carried forward into the early colonies, and of course, several of the colonial splits were over religious practices. While it is certainly fair to say that the founders were not all devout churchgoers, one cannot underestimate the influence their Christian backgrounds had on the foundation of our country. When signing the Declaration of Independence on July 4, 1776, Samuel Adams, the statesman, not the beer, said, "We have this day restored the sovereign to whom all men ought to be obedient. He reigns in heaven from the rising to the setting of the sun. Let his kingdom come." The Republic was governed from 1774 to 1789 by the First and Second Continental Congresses. Some would argue that the presidents of those Continental Congresses were actually our first presidents. The president of the Second Continental Congress was John Hancock, a name I'm sure we're all familiar with. Hancock was the son and grandson of Congregationalist ministers and had begun studying for the ministry before his life changed upon the rather sudden and early death of his father. No doubt that influence remained a part of him, even as he lived his political career as a significant person in the early days of our country. Many of the founders came from religious backgrounds, as did spouses and family members. Most were of Protestant backgrounds, Anglican, Episcopalian, Presbyterian, Congregationalist, Dutch Reformed, Lutheran, and Quakers, and with some Roman Catholics as well. General George Washington was Anglican and a member of the vestry at the church he was involved with for some time. Washington, however, like many of his founding contemporaries, may not have been as deeply a part of his stated faith personally as we may believe. Scholars suggest that many of the founders, while they may be listed as church members, were more accurately deists, who followed to varying degrees the belief in God, but reject that God has any involvement in our human existence, that our lives are dictated more by our human experience and rationality. Washington reportedly shunned most of the practices of his Anglican church in later years. Thomas Jefferson had a major role in much of our nation's early history. He was far from an Orthodox church person. He held to Christian beliefs in many ways and called himself a Christian, but rejected many teachings, such as the divinity of Jesus, the resurrection, and miracles. He even edited the Gospels, removing the parts he personally rejected. That work is known as The Life and Morals of Jesus of Nazareth, or more commonly as the Jefferson Bible. Essentially, the teachings of Jesus without the divine nature of Jesus. Jefferson argued strongly that the church and the state should not be intertwined, saying that religion is a matter which lies solely between man and his God. The founders agreed that there should be no state religion, unlike so many other countries around the world. According to a 2007 Pew Research study, at least 27 countries around the world have a state religion, 63% of which are Islam. And at least 80 countries have either a state religion or a state-favored religion. John Quincy Adams, our sixth president, said, "The highest story of the American Revolution is this. It connected in one indissoluble bond the principles of civil government with the principles of Christianity." So, why is this important to us now? I am in no way advocating for any particular religious or political viewpoint. Such is up to each of us individually. I wanted to honor the vast history of our nation on this Independence Day weekend, but also want to honor the connection between our nation and our faith. There is the story in the Gospels where the Pharisees yet again try to catch Jesus by asking him if it is lawful to pay taxes to Caesar. Jesus asks them to show him a coin, and he then asks the Pharisees whose image is on the coin. "Caesar's," they reply, and Jesus tells them, "Render therefore unto Caesar the things which are Caesar's, and unto God the things that are God's." The kingdom of God and the kingdoms of this world are two separate things, each with their own importance and value. Jesus saw the two as separate, and he clearly was not trying to somehow push the two to be intertwined. That, of course, does not mean that our values should not play a role in every aspect of our individual lives. Clearly, Jesus shows us that our faith is always to be a part of who we are. In our reading from Ezekiel, the Lord said, "I am sending you to a rebellious nation that has rebelled against me, and whether they listen or fail to listen, for they are a rebellious people, they will know that a prophet has been among them." That was directed towards the ancient Israelites. But it could very well be directed towards pretty much any nation on this earth, then or now. In our gospel reading, Jesus sends the disciples out to preach and minister in the world after a rather disappointing experience in Jesus' hometown. Not surprisingly, the people who knew Jesus in his hometown thought, "This is just that kid that came from the carpenter's shop. What makes him so special?" Jesus recognized that such is just human nature and told the disciples essentially, "That's just the way it is. Move on and don't let it bother you." Jesus told them and tells us, "If any place will not welcome you or listen to you, leave that place and shake the dust off your feet as a testimony against them." We are called to be Jesus' presence in the world in every aspect of life, personal and public. We minister in his name and are his beacons of hope and peace in the world. Like so many who went before us, through our lives, we are to be examples and representatives of Jesus in the decisions we make and the things we do, in our homes, in our communities, in our work, in our nation, in our world. May we faithfully do so. Amen. And please be with me again in prayer. Lord God, may we be faithful in all we do, respecting the faithful witness of so many who went before us, who shaped our country, our church, and our lives. May we, through our daily living, help to shape this world to your glory. In Jesus' holy name we pray. Amen.
You have heard a sermon delivered on July 7, 2024 by the Reverend Bob Gechler. The title was "A Tough Act to Follow." Thank you for listening, and may God bless you.